Hey, everybody, this is Pierre Quinn, and you're listening to the Leading While Green podcast, where my mission is to help you live, learn, and lead with confidence. On episode number 4, we're going to talk about swimming, of course, give you an update on my swim lessons, tell you the truth about how to really get noticed, share some insights about gatekeepers, tell you about the fun that I'm having in my mastermind group. We'll talk about packaging, conversations, and of course, the revision conference. So, listen up. So this week, I was supposed to be in my swimming lessons. If you've been listening to this podcast for the past several weeks, I've just been talking about my personal journey in learning how to swim, going from someone who has absolutely no idea of what I'm supposed to do when I hit a swimming pool, to now being a person who is fairly comfortable being underneath water and kicking, well, at least a little bit. So this week I was supposed to have my lessons, but the pool where I normally practice, where I meet with my coach, was under construction, repairs, renovations. I don't know if they were just cleaning the pool. Anyways, the pool wasn't accessible to us this week. And he said that there was an outdoor pool available, but the temperature is so cold outside. He said, we're just going to pick it up next week. So I'm going to try possibly to find an indoor pool to hang out, at least dip in the water this week, to say that I was in the water this week. But we just came back from vacation. We spent a week in Massanutten, in Virginia, and I talk about that in the previous episode. But one of my highlights from being on vacation was walking away, leaving the vacation, and having my daughters be comfortable in the swimming pool. My youngest daughter just jumped in the water and started swimming, and she was floating on her back and kicking and going underwater and jumping into the pool and having a good time. My oldest daughter was a bit more apprehensive, maybe because she's a bit older, but a bit more apprehensive. But toward the end of our time, our vacation time, she was becoming more comfortable and going underwater and kicking and moving her arms. And I think about how really me being comfortable in the water allowed my daughters to feel comfortable in the water. Me feeling safe in the water allowed my daughters to feel safe in the water. And how sometimes there are people who will not, they just won't get to where they're supposed to be until you get to where you're supposed to be. And yeah, that sounds like a tremendous amount of responsibility, but that doesn't make it any less true. That sometimes we share or preach or challenge people to do better with their lives, to do more with their lives, but we're coming from a perspective where we're not doing better with our lives or more with our lives. So I'm grateful for the swimming lessons that gave me the confidence to be with my daughters in the pool, that I think ultimately led to them being confident in the pool and starting their swim journey as well. And hopefully you're taking a vacation yourself. Like, hopefully you got some time to unplug, to unwind, to really collect your thoughts. Take those vacations. Too many of you guys listening to this podcast, you got too many vacation days stored up and you can't cash them out at the end of the year. Take a couple of days and unplug and unwind and kind of dream and get some stuff off your chest and plan your life and make some better decisions than you're already making. I had a vacation. Can't wait to go back on vacation. I really, really enjoyed it. So when we got back to the normalcy of life and just driving around the city where we live in Maryland. We're about maybe 30 minutes north of DC, 30 minutes south of Baltimore, and in a fairly decent area. But I was driving around the city where we live. Well, I think it's where we live. I can't remember exactly where I was driving, but I can clearly remember the sign that I saw. And there was a sign on the side of the road. It was a white sign. It had black letters. It looked like it had been written on with permanent markers. And the sign said, if you need a website, call this number. Now, I want you to think about that for a second. If you need a website, call this number. And I was thinking, that's crazy. If you need a website, you would probably want, if you're in the business of building websites, you probably want to give people some evidence that you can do what you say. So why not say, if you need a website, go to www.needasite.com. I don't know if that's a real address or not, but why isn't your promotion or your advertisement centered around the thing that you're doing well? If I think website, I'm not thinking phone call. I'm thinking website. And I think we get really confused at sometimes how we should put ourselves out there and how we should let ourselves know, how we should let other people know what we're doing and what we're up to. Michael Hyatt, been a big Michael Hyatt fan for years. He wrote a book called Platform, Getting Noticed in a Noisy World. And in the book, Hyatt just shares this belief that everybody needs to create their own platform. You need to have your own website. You need to have your own social media. You need to have your own way of communicating with the outside world, how you do what you do. Because the truth is, how will people ever know what you do unless you tell them, unless you show them, unless you demonstrate? Or are you waiting for one or two people who know you to become your evangelists, to become your spokespersons and share with the outside world what you're doing and what you're up to? Well, one, people don't have time for that. And two, if they have time for it, you're not paying them to promote you, to advertise you, to share you. Let me just share with you how this works in a more practical sense. Now, I know some of you on here are church people. You go to church, you're involved with the church, you lead out in a church or some ministry of some capacity. And inevitably, in every church or faith-based scenario, there are things that need to be done, and there are individuals who need to do the things that need to be done. I know you got it. So there are things, there are ministry tasks, there's administrative things, there's a whole host of things that need to be done. And usually in a church environment, we're calling on the same individuals to do it, no matter the size of the church. So that 80-20 principle, 80% of the work is done by 20% of the people. I know you've heard it before. But sometimes in church leadership settings, what you'll hear are complaints when people come to you and say, well, how come no one asked me to do X? How come no one asked me to bake a cake? How come no one asked me to paint the wall? How come no one asked me to lead out in the program? And many times from a leadership perspective, we don't know. Now, as leaders, we need to do a very good job of assessing our people and engaging where their strengths and talents lie. But a lot of times the onus is on the individual to share with the outside world. And we're not talking about bragging. We're not talking about drawing unnecessary attention to yourself. But think about this. If you want to be the person in the church to cook meals, to be in the kitchen, I know in some, depending on what church you go to, some churches don't even have kitchens because they don't want to deal with the fights that go along with the territorial thing of being in the kitchen. And some people have meal programs and all of those things. Well, think, if you want to be the person on the meal team actually cooking, not just serving, wouldn't it be a good idea to make something? Make a dish or two and bring it to the church, or invite people over to your house so that people can see that you can cook. Like, how will people know if you can cook? How will people know about your culinary expertise if you don't demonstrate it for them? People ask all the time, well, how come no one asked me to sing? Well, did anybody know you could sing? How come no one asked me to coordinate? Does anybody know that's where your strength lies? Or are we just waiting for someone to magically notice us and give us a chance? And maybe the world was like that, but now the world has shifted and there are not as many gatekeepers as there used to be. A lot of gatekeepers are gone. I remember before, you couldn't publish a book unless you went through a major publishing company and signed a book deal and did all of this strenuous stuff. You couldn't have an album. You couldn't record music unless you signed a contract and put your life on the line and jumped through all of these hoops. But now, If you want to do music, there's YouTube, there's SoundCloud. If you want to write a book, there's self-publishing. If you want to be a photographer, there's Instagram to show everyone your photography skills. There's Instagram to show people the dishes that you cook. If you want to be a cook, if you want to be a chef, the gatekeepers are not there the way that they used to be. But truthfully, many times you end up being your own gatekeeper. You end up saying to yourself, I can't do it. Or you end up saying to yourself, what I have to offer is not valid until someone else validates me. I'm waiting on validation before I start. And the world does not work like that. You got to be willing to take a chance. You got to be willing to try. You got to be willing to do it. Do it for no pay. Do it without recognition. Do it so you can get the repetition and the consistency of doing it. And as people begin to take notice, you'll get more opportunities. And I shared this in a previous podcast. People ask me, how did I come to the place where I can get certain speaking engagements? And I tell them it started as a kid. It started in elementary school, in high school. It started in church. It started in college when people gave me small chances. Or first, I shared with people that I have had a desire to speak, a desire to teach, a desire to share. I put that out. I have a desire to share. And from that, I started to get small opportunities and maximize those small opportunities. So make yourself known, make yourself available, and share with other people that you have an affinity or even a desire to learn. Now put it in proper perspective. Don't ask to sing a solo at church if you're not a solo singer. Ask to join the choir. Don't ask to be in charge of the meal if you're not a good cook. Ask to serve. Don't ask to be able to shoot someone's wedding or senior pictures or baby picture if you just got a camera and you're trying to figure this thing out. Ask to tag along with a photographer so that you can learn these skills and put yourself in a position for people to recognize the skills that you're developing. But don't stop being your own gatekeeper. Stop getting in your own way. Stop being your own roadblock and get out there and try and fail and learn and get better and then try again. But the gatekeepers aren't there the way that they used to be. And sometimes the only gatekeeper that you're dealing with is the one that resides between your ears. Now, we were talking about, you know, social media and setting up your own platform. Social media can, man, it can just tear you up. If you're honest about it, it can tear you up, because sometimes we live our lives vicariously through other people. We live our lives as professional critics, just taking notes on and laughing about what everybody else does on social media. I was standing in the bank one day, and I know that's a bit of an anomaly, because a lot of people don't stand in the line at the bank. A lot of people do online banking. You use the drive up ATM. You don't even go inside the bank. And I haven't been inside a bank in months. But I was listening to two people in line at the bank, and one said, why are people even on social media bragging or sharing about their lives? The only thing I do on social media is to go on there and look at other people and laugh at them. And I was saying to myself, well, that's kind of funny. The only thing that you go on social media to do is to look at what other people are doing and laugh at them. You're really just going on there and being critics of other people's lives or living vicariously through them. And we have a way of cropping and photoshopping and filtering our lives so that it seems perfect. And social media can increase your stress and anxiety and mess with your self-esteem, because you're seeing a cropped and edited version of our lives, which sometimes is not a fair picture of reality. But we get very good at doing this, so much so that the time that we spend critiquing other people's lives is time that we take away from doing what we're supposed to be doing. So when I see things in my timeline, and I get annoyed just like you get annoyed, I get frustrated just like you. I get irritated just like you when I see things on social media. And I'm sometimes quick. My knee-jerk reaction is to critique what other people are doing. And sometimes I can find myself in a place where I'm critiquing what other people are doing so much that it's taking the energy away from the projects and initiatives that I have going. So I started to make this commitment, and I talked to my wife about this week. I started to make this commitment that I'm going to take less time to critique and more time to create. I'm going to take less time to talk about why someone is doing this particular project, why they're doing it this way, critiquing their speaker lineup or critiquing their implementation, critiquing their launch or their program, and just talking about, well, if I would have done it this way, or they should have considered this, and just talking, because a lot of those thoughts that we don't share with the people who can actually use it and apply it, they're just for our small little groups. I said, I'm going to take less time to critique what's going on, what other people are doing in their circles. And I'm going to take more time to create more time and more energy and more intentionality in the direction of things that are actually going to help build me and build my platform, build my brand, build my leverage, build my marriage, build my relationships, build my spirituality, build my resource list, just build, instead of just tearing down, or at least verbally tearing down what other people are doing. And maybe that's a challenge that you need to take yourself. Think about how much time, or maybe do an assessment of when you go on social media, how much time do you spend just looking at someone else's pictures and critiquing their life and talking about what they should be doing and who they should be dating and what they should be working on and the type of place that they should work. Some of us even do this with the teams that we work on and the areas in which we provide leadership. We just spend so much time critiquing and providing commentary, and not enough time building and growing and challenging ourselves to do more. So my challenge for you for the rest of the week, or 7 days from now, from whenever you're listening to this, for the next 7 days, be intentional about spending less time critiquing what other people are doing and more time creating, more time building, more time reading, more time working on your own stuff as you move closer to where you are called to be. One of the things that's really helped me out with this is a mastermind group that I am in. I'm in a mastermind group with four of my friends, and we go all the way back to college. Some of us go all the way back to high school. And we just said, we're going to make a commitment to each other to help each other build in all the areas of our lives, not just as entrepreneurs, not just as leaders and thinkers, but in our relationships, in our marriages, in our parenting. We want to help each other become better. So we started this mastermind group several weeks ago. And I'll tell you, there's something about accountability. There's something about sitting amongst a group of individuals and making a commitment, making a promise that by this date, I will have this done, because having this done will help me grow in this area. And then coming to the meeting and not having it done and feeling embarrassed, being called to the carpet, being punched in the gut, being held to task, having your feet held to the fire because you made a commitment, you made a promise, and your name is worth something and your word is worth something. And knowing that you have to go to that meeting and give an account for how you spent your time and what you've been doing with yourself, for me, has provided a catalyst to get some stuff done, made some leaps and bounds in just certain areas of my life, different projects that I'm working on, thinking holistically about my relationships and how what I'm doing is impacting my wife and impacting my children. And this mastermind group is actually helping me to grow as a leader, and really helping a person like me, who's a big picture thinker, who's a visionary, who can always get stuck in the clouds and daydreaming, and sometimes have a difficult time coming down to where the rubber hits the road and actually getting the things that you've dreamt about done and accomplished, bringing them off paper into real life. So if you haven't been a part of a mastermind group, consider it. Google mastermind group, or how does a mastermind group work? And there's some paid options out there where you can be a part of, if you don't have a group of friends who you really can trust on this particular journey, you can join some paid mastermind groups where for certain dollar amounts, $20 a month, $50, $100 a month, $200 a month, you'll be in this group and they'll help to hold you accountable, and you got to do check-ins and you got to do planning and you got to do strategy. And I'll probably put together a leadership mastermind toward the end of the year or the beginning of the year. So be on the lookout for that. But get with a group of people, and you want to be with people not just who are holding you accountable, but also you're helping to hold them accountable, so that you're all on level playing field. And you can really, it's much easier to take advice and counsel from someone who you know is trying to work in the same direction that you are, than from somebody who's you've asked to hold you accountable, but you don't have anything to hold them accountable for. So do a Google search for mastermind groups or how do mastermind groups work. And I'll probably launch some sort of leadership mastermind group at the end of the year or the beginning of the year. But get around a group of people, and it doesn't have to be anything that's highly structured, but get around a group of people where at least a couple times a month, at least every other week, you're checking in, you're talking about progress. They're challenging you in the areas of life that you've revealed to them, and they're holding your feet to the fire so that you can get some of these commitments accomplished. Because for a lot of us, the area in which we struggle is consistency. We have a great idea for a week or for a month, and then when the euphoria or the excitement wears off, we lose that ability to be consistent with it. And having being a part of a mastermind group has helped to help me to be more consistent. Speaking of which, that's one of the things that we're going to talk about at the Revision Conference, October 29th, Baltimore, Maryland, on the campus of the University of Maryland. The Revision Conference, a half-day experience designed to help you dream, to imagine, to plan again around the areas of major life change that you know you need to make. We had the first one in July at Bowie State University, and it was incredible. The insights that were shared, the practical advice and steps that were given, the networking opportunities that were available, to be in the room with a group of individuals who know they need to make major changes and are looking for answers, looking for inspiration, looking for support, and walking away with practical things that you can do. If it's relationships, if it's finances, if it's ministry, if it's leadership, we want to put you in a place where you can be in a, where you can get a catalyst for life change, a catalyst for revision. So that's the Revision Conference, Baltimore, Maryland, October 29th, revision2017.eventbrite.com. That's what you want to check out and be a part of the Revision Conference. Because, man, you could just be one decision away from a total change of life and doing what you were called to do. And some of us just need to make those changes. I was driving a couple months ago, and usually driving is when I do my best thinking, kind of when I'm moving, I do my best thinking. And near where we live, we saw that the Chick-fil-A was closed down. It was closed for renovations. Now, about a month before this, Burger King had been closed for renovations. And man, they whipped out those renovations, it seemed like, in no time. Across town, McDonald's, a couple of months before that, started rebuilding a McDonald's from the ground up. They didn't want renovations. They knocked the entire thing down and started over. But when you think about McDonald's, you think about Burger King, you think about Chick-fil-A, you realize that for the most part, their menu is not going to change. Chick-fil-A is still going to sell chicken sandwiches and waffle fries. Burger King is still going to sell Whoppers and Whopper Juniors. McDonald's is still going to sell Big Macs and McNuggets and their signature French fries. For the most part, the menu is going to be the same. Well, if the menu is going to be the same, why the need for renovation? Why the need for a revision of how it looks, or of changing up the experience? And the truth is, your packaging needs to change. Think about clothes in the 80s. Think about television shows in the 80s. Think about music in the 80s. Think about driving in the 80s and how all of those experiences have changed. Now, the purpose hasn't changed. Driving still gets us from point A to point B. Music still impacts our moods. Television is there to entertain us. But how that's done, the methodology of how that's done needs to change. It needs to change based on the culture and society and people that you're dealing with. That's why every so often cereal boxes change the design of packaging. They'll update it. They'll change. They'll tweak the characters. They'll tweak the colors a little bit. That's why cars change shape and design. They're trying to look for what appeals to the masses more, even though the function of the car is essentially the same. That's why major fast food restaurants, McDonald's, Burger King, Chick-fil-A, update their buildings and change the look and feel, the experience of the place, because they want you to have the same outcome. They want to want you to enjoy what they're offering, but they know they have to change the methods and how they do it. So for some of us, listen, you've had the same website for a couple of years. You need to go change it. You've had the same hairdo. You need to change it. You've had the same way or style of doing ministry or even leading your team. You need to change it. The great man leadership era is gone, where you're the person with all the courage and people listen to you just because you're the leader. That era has gone, and we've moved to a place of really emotional leadership, emotional intelligence, engaging and connecting with those you're leading to make a difference in their lives. So the packaging needs to be different. The outcome is the same. Changed lives, transportation, entertainment. The outcome is the same. Weight loss, the outcome is the same as it's always been. But the methods of reaching that outcome have to be different based on the times and cultures and people you're dealing with. And for some of us, that change simply means picking up the phone. I know we're in the internet age, we're in the technology age, where people hardly converse anymore. Everything is a text or tweet or inbox message. But think about how life would be different if you were the outlier. And instead of just emailing everybody about everything or texting everybody about everything, what if you were the person known for having good conversations around the areas that matter most? If you want to make a change, what if you don't just email someone about it, but you have a face-to-face conversation about it? Hey, maybe you want to present an idea. Maybe you should go beyond just texting to get permission to setting up a face-to-face conversation. Maybe you're trying to get new business and all of your prospecting has been on social media and via email. Maybe you follow up those social media posts and those inbox messages with a phone call so that people can hear your voice and they can hear what you're about. Because there's something about a personal touch that can't be beat. That's why we go to the restaurants that we go to. That's why we engage the sales persons that we engage. That's why we have the experiences that we have that mean the most to us. They're usually centered around dynamic conversations. And maybe the area that you need to get to is only being inhibited by your inability or your lack of willingness to pick up the phone and have a conversation. So here's some homework. Make a list of 3 to 5 people that you need to talk to for whatever reason, and then put it in your calendar to have those conversations and see how things turn out differently. And we'll talk about conversations too at the Revision Conference on October 29th in Baltimore, Maryland. That's revision2017.eventbrite.com. That's all I got for this episode of the Leading While Green podcast, where it's my mission to help you live, learn, and lead with confidence. I hope you have an amazing rest of the week. And until we talk together again soon, God bless and take care.